I don't know how many of you caught that, but we are now officially convened. Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship in Manhattan, Kansas. My name is Dave Lambert. I'll be the convener this morning. I'll wait a minute for everybody to find a seat. Are we on now? Yeah, we're on. Okay. So welcome, once again, for those of you in the back row who couldn't hear me the first time. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Manhattan, Kansas. We come together this morning to remind one another to rest for a moment, to resist the headlong tumble into tomorrow. We come together until we find ourselves. We find for ourselves awareness and gratitude. We take the time to look into one another's eyes and see their communion, the reflection of our own eyes. This house of laughter and of music, memory and hope, made sacred by our presence together. So please take a moment to greet those next to you. Look deeply into their eyes and seek communion. I hate to break this up. We're taking this to heart. I do have at least one announcement I'd like to make. Scott and Kathleen have reminded me that this evening, starting at 5 o'clock with a potluck and at a concert at 6 p.m., at their house, this morning's singer, Andrew McKnight, will be giving a live performance, and everybody is welcome. Scott said, forget that stuff about the RSVP. Everybody is welcome. So we hope to see all of you and your friends and neighbors as well tonight at Scott's house. And the weather should be good enough that we can tumble out into the yard if we need to. So Andrew, if you want to... There's been a slight change in the program, so you can ignore that at this point.
I was impressed that they were able to get the order of service worked out without a committee. It happened very organically, I have to say. Good morning, y'all. In the darkness, in the desert, searchlights glare and there's gunshots and shouting, but somehow I slipped by, only God knows why. The trucker dropped me at the Arkansas line. Where I come from is where the drugs run, and the men come with money and lust for honest living. Hope God's forgiving. For I left my family for this one chance at hope, and I have dreams just like you. Oh, if I let you walk in these shoes, would you be here? If the Spirit moves you, y'all can sing along next verse, get some practice in. Scars and scratches, chemical rashes. No one trusts me to do more than clean, but I've got secrets, I've learned English. Someday the name on the door will be mine, and I have dreams just like you. Oh, if I let you walk in these shoes, pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. For all the politicians, state their positions, collecting campaign cash to build a wall behind them, but I do work you won't. Dirty jobs you don't, and all I ask is the right to be human, and I have dreams just like you. Oh, if I let you walk in these shoes, would you be here? I have dreams just like you. Oh, if I let you walk in these shoes, would you be here? Yeah, yeah. Good morning. Thank you for singing.
Leah, can you do your thing? Thank you. As we do each Sunday, and in concert with thousands of other fellowships around the country and around the world, we light this morning our chalice in celebration of our world community. And in deep gratitude to all of those who have lighted the flame within us. Oop, you got some help. Thank you. We welcome you now for our congregational cares and concerns to share with us your own personal cares, your own personal concerns, your own personal joys. We have a microphone circulating, so please speak into the microphone.
Hi, Larry Weaver. It's a joy this morning to have a old friend, Ann Zimmerman, with us. Ann, would you stand up?
Yeah. We're hoping for a jam session later.
Edith Hendricks, it's a joy to be back here to see Ann Zimmerman and everyone else whom I love. Thank you. From my heart.
Jim Chanteau. My oldest daughter, Karen, and my grandson, James, were rear-ended in an automobile accident earlier last week in Columbia, Missouri. They went to the emergency room. My daughter Karen's okay. James has some back issues, but he's home and apparently doing okay. I'll be going over there in a few days to see if I can help out, but it's an unfortunate thing. I guess it happens in the wintertime.
And for all of those joys and all of those concerns left unspoken, know that your happiness, as well as your sorrows, are shared in all of our hearts. If the children of all ages would care to come forward, Andrew is going to lead us in our story this morning.
Superhero this morning. I'm so glad you're here. There never can be enough superhero superpower in the world. So, this instrument is an unfortunate accident.
my guitar got dirty, and so I thought it would be a good idea to wash it. And when I put it in a dryer, this is what happened. Goodness. But the good thing was, I wasn't expecting to find that it would come out with two extra strings. So I've got 8 strings on this now, but I only have 4 different notes. So I work with little kids every now and then. Now, since you're all big kids, you probably will get a kick out of this. But if you write songs with younger people, they have a rather unique perspective on the world. I have done this not because I have any skills or training or really any qualifications whatsoever to work with little people, except that I am a little kid stuck in a grown-up's body. However, writing songs with young people is kind of fun. That's my job. I write songs, I sing them, and people actually show up and hear me sing them. That's the cool part. But writing songs with kindergarten kids, I've learned a lot of things about music and about kids from kids. For instance, the group of kindergartners that I worked with on this particular song that I'm going to share with you, it was Valentine's Day, so it was around this time last year. And they decided that they wanted to write a love song. Now, what do you think of when you think of love? Raise your hand and tell me. What do you think of? Family. Man, oh man. Yeah, that's great. How about you?
I think family needs to have a pet.
And pets too, right? That's good. What do you think?
Love.
Love is a good thing, isn't it? Can never have too much. What do you think? You know, my daughter's in first grade now, and you would not believe the pile of Valentine's cards that came home on Friday from school. Holy cow. Because it snowed at home on Valentine's Day, so they put it off for a week. What do you think?
I think family needs a great... I think family needs billions and millions of superheroes.
I think you're right. If you work that, I'm going to stand up in a minute and sing. So, love is a really cool thing, and this is the way that kids look at it. The morning that I was supposed to write this song with them, I had stayed up too late the night before, and I had seen a Victoria's Secret commercial, and I was thinking, I don't have this. How am I going to do this with kids? This is going to be interesting. So I realized that the best thing to do was to let them write the words. So the words are from the kids. And my job, basically, as the quote-unquote responsible adult in the room, was simply to remove any inappropriate references to bodily functions, which is really about the only thing that you need to do. So this is a kindergarten kind of love song, but it's sort of for everybody. And I'm going to stand up and sing it. And if you want to stand up and dance and sing with me and clap along, you can. Or if you want to just sit and be cool, you can do that too. The rest of you, however, have to sing. Because if there's a hallmark of kindergarten songs, it's that they are repetitive. Don't worry, I got it. Everybody needs to give a little love.
Everybody.
May I be no one's enemy, and may I be the friend of that which is eternal and abides.
May I wish for every person's happiness and envy none.
May I never rejoice in the ill fortune of one who has wronged me.
May I, to the extent of my power, give needful help to all who are in want.
May I never fail a friend.
May I respect myself.
May I always keep tame that which rages within me.
May I accustom myself to be gentle and never be angry with others because of circumstances.
May I know good people and follow in their footsteps. We are especially pleased to have all of you here today, but especially pleased to have Andrew McKnight be able to join us. Andrew has come to our fellowship this morning fresh from the Folk Alliance workshop in Kansas City, and he is off to the wonders of Oklahoma and Texas and various points to the south. We're glad that he is here. As Andrew says on his website, we are the sum of many parts, not all of which we find especially attractive. Andrew reminds us that, and this is a quote from his website, if we don't have a laugh at ourselves every now and then, we're missing a mighty big source of humor. So in the next half hour, Andrew will be weaving humorous and poignant stories together in a beautiful tapestry, helping us to appreciate as gifts both our wonderful talents and those things that we might perceive as our faults. Andrew.
People at the Folk Alliance Conference got really excited when I said I was going to Manhattan today. And I'm sure they knew I meant Kansas. I'm positive of it. Good morning. Thank you all so much for inviting me to be here. It is a delight to get to experience the prairie at morning light. I have had the privilege and pleasure of seeing Kansas in its sort of dormant glory more than once, and I'm delighted to get to spend a little bit of time here today and tonight. Thank you for that gift. I come to you from a little Unitarian church in the hills outside of Leesburg, Virginia. Our church was built by freed slaves in the 1890s, and you feel their presence, the joys, the struggles, the hopes, and the sorrows of a people who lived through so much, through segregation and through Jim Crow. And when one takes in that experience, one realizes just how much we are part of a human story that has bad paragraphs and good paragraphs in it. I say that to you this morning because each of us is a magnificent gift upon this earth with all of the bones, not just the ones that we like to hold up into the light and show the rest of the world and say, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I stand for. But also those things that we're not so proud of, the things that keep us thinking, ugh, I wish I'd never done that. Ugh, if only I could leave that behind. Those bones, too, are powerful motivation. I was lucky enough to learn early enough in my adult life, like maybe, I don't know, sometime in the last 6 weeks, that many things on this life are a gift. And one of them is things that you don't want to do. You can learn just as much from as the things that you do. For me, I always take a look at home first. For me, I have always struggled with this notion that I am aging and maturing at dramatically different rates. I am the dad of a six-year-old, and I have to say that in the last 6 years, the problem has only gotten worse. And if I were a truly enlightened being, I would own my own stuff. But I still insist on hanging some of that on my DNA. My grandfather, whom I'm named after, was a bit of a cantankerous Scotsman. And he, just to give you an example, my granddad decided that he didn't like paying for gas all that much late in life. So he got a moped. Now, that was cool. He even let me ride around on his moped. But the thing is that my granddad would take his moped on the streets of his native Bristol, Connecticut, and occasionally the sidewalks, because he rode his moped far past the point where his vision had deteriorated, which meant that if you were on the sidewalk when Grandpa happened to come rolling along, it was your fault. So I guess I have my mother to thank for the optimistic lens in which I view this little strand of twisted DNA that titled the song When and not If I Grow Up. When I grow up, I want to be an old man, retire to the back roads, live closer to the land, sit out on my front porch and wave a friendly hand when they stop to ask directions, make sure they understand. When you up and my motor slowing down, I will let the grass grow longer, take my time in town, and like my father's father, I will tinker with my hands. When I grow up, I'll be an old man. Hey, I can dream, can't I? Set out to go fishing, forget my pole at home, and while I'm at it, wait to leave till the sun gets warm. I'll still bring home great fish stories, they'll still be true to form, and the fish will taste as good as they ever did before. When youth's used up and my motor's slowing down, I will let the grass grow longer, take my time in town, and like my father's father, I will tinker with my hands. though I am still burdened with impatience of youth, always moving toward the fast lane, always searching for the truth. I aspire to the day I turn to the act of letting go of everything that I must learn, to everything I know. When they say my eyesight's failing and my hearing's none too good, I guess I have them where I want them, guessing what I've understood. I'll be bouncing grandchildren on bony bended knee and sit and talk for hours without saying anything. When youth's used up and my motor's slowing down, I will let the grass grow longer, take my time in town, and like my father's father, I will tinker with my hands. When I grow up, I'll be an old man. When I grow up, I'll be an old man. And a foot further back would be great. I would like that. Sound engineer one, sound engineer two. I play loud. So, you know, I've always thought that the humor laying in ruins around our feet is a wonderful source of treasures that one should not overlook, especially when you're in my line of work, of entertaining people. And so I guess for me, I've always sort of had this, I don't know, parent thing, you know. I agree. I buy into the fact that we realize that one day we will wake up and become one or both of our parents, which is why this next song has all these jazzy chords in it that I can't name, because my dad soaked that stuff into me when I was a little kid playing at his piano, like he still does with my daughter now. What I didn't realize was that your parents also become a bit more like you. And this is weird. Now, my dad loves to play. He's 77, and he's kept himself in great shape, and he still likes to go out and play in front of people. And there aren't too many people his own age who are out gigging these days, so he's either doing it by himself, or he's sitting in with bands of friends of his or mine or both. We have a lot of common mutual friends in between our ages. And so he's also pretty good at playing this big, fat Hammond B3 organ sound like you'd hear in Allman Brothers or Santana, you know. So he's got this sort of classic rock buzz going in there somewhere, too. And so he sat in with some friends of mine at one of their gigs, and they played all those classic rock hits, you know. And so the conversation that I would have bet every dime that I've ever made in folk music in the last 20 years that I would never have with my dad went something like this. Phone conversation the day after he's done this show, and I said, "Well, so how'd it go, Dad? Did you have fun?" He said, "Oh, yeah, it was a good time." Loud, he said, but it was a good time. And then he utters the words, "That Freebird's a pretty good song." Really, Dad? Okay. I seem to recall when Freebird came out when I was in seventh grade, you weren't all that hip to it then. But, you know, I guess everybody's capable of change. So anyway, Dad sort of inspired this song about my lifelong struggles with telephone anxiety. We're either always looking at it, always hoping it'll ring, or wondering where the heck the signal went. And it's called Bad News. Thank you.
waltz picks up the beat. Got no explanation for my rising body heat. Guess I'm just expecting bad news. My least favorite words are "we gotta talk." They're usually followed by a long and lonesome walk. 'Cause I'm expecting bad news. When the mailman comes, let the dog run loose. I won't shoot the messenger, but deliver if you call me rational, but I won't lie to you, 'cause I'm expecting bad news. All right, do your thing. So if you've got issues, I don't want to know. And here's some advice for you. Just pack them up and go. You can keep those letters coming. Call me if you choose. Keep your secrets if you're bearing bad news. And I just can't take no more bad. And I guess you probably know what I'm talking about, 'cause you're glued to your TV set watching on CNN the same way I am every night too. Woo-hoo. No. I've always been captivated by the power and the role of fear in what we choose to do in our lives. It's funny, sometimes we don't even realize, sometimes we have so much background noise going on in our lives that we don't even realize that we have perhaps an inherent fear of silence. When left with all of the voices in my head that don't pay rent to keep me company, silence is a bit of a jagged edge. And yet, I find sometimes that perhaps I am a man born in the wrong time. We have this box in our living room with wires coming out of it, and if you go and turn it on every now and then, it's sort of like everything that comes shooting out of it is fast and loud and bright and oh so scary, especially if you turn it on at 4, 5, 6, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Because if you listen to the news, it sure seems like the world is imploding right this very minute. And that is a kind of scary proposition indeed. I guess if one were to believe in reincarnation, it would feel like being one of those clay pigeons out on a shooting range or something. Everything just coming at you so fast and furious. I find sometimes that all of that thunder coming out of the TV set might just be exactly the opposite of what I need. A perfectly still moment in time and out of time. Will there be another Ansel Adams, American original, sculptor of shadow and light? Will another have the patience to await the perfect moment when the elements and angles are just right? Ansel Adams was no hero, cursed with pride and foible, but like any Einstein you find, take everything you can. Seraphim of film and format, a wizard of the lens, freezing magic in a frame of stone and sand. And in a range of light, a gentleman revealed his heart, showed us treasures God in plain sight hid. And in a sacred setting, shutter clicking on the wind, let us see like Ansel Adams did. A moment is so precious. In our hurry, rush, rush lives, seems the only way to save it is hang it over the TV. And our modern generation, focused on the destination, is it still a thing of beauty if we move too fast to see? And in a range of light, a gentleman revealed his heart, showed us treasures God in plain sight hid. And in a sacred setting, shutter clicking on the wind, let us see like Ansel Adams did. Chases shadows. I've been known to talk to ghosts, and I strain to hear echoes of the past. His reflections in still waters, spires soaring to the sky, all remind me that this heartbreak will not last. And in a range of light, a gentleman revealed his heart, showed us treasures God in plain sight hid. And in a sacred setting, shutter clicking on the wind, let us see like Ansel Adams did. Be another Ansel Adams, American original, sculptor of shadow and light. I find that many of the bones in my closet are the ones that shudder in deep trepidation and fear at the thought of loss, at the thought of finality. I didn't have to confront losing someone close to me until I was in my mid-30s, which I consider to be a lucky thing and a blessing all in itself. But what surprised me was the fact that each of the times that I've had to deal with that in my life, my journeys led me almost immediately to the great red rock deserts of the American Southwest.
And I've never figured out quite what it is about canyon country that's so magical and special and austere all at the same time. Perhaps it's simply the stark contrast between the red stone and the blue sky. Maybe it's for the fact that at long last there is no place to hide from oneself there in the desert. Or maybe perhaps it's the feeling that I come away with each time that each and every one of us is an endangered species well worth saving. This is called wishing. Condor soars on outstretched wing. From that altitude, I bet you'd see a lot of funny things, like red rock low, neath desert skies. I hope way up there's a place where our souls collide. Gravity, it holds me down, keeps my orbit safe and low enough to ease the blow when I hit the ground. While angels glance and prophets laugh at this flightless rustic poet stumbling blindly down the path. In the blinking eye where dreams take flight, it's deafening in the quiet under these restless stars so bright. And if I wish on their falling light, I'd wish I didn't need to make a wish tonight. Whooping crane, his joyful dance
And he's so unaware of all the perils of his new romance. With one wing high, one leg kicks, has 10,000 fathers before guide his way through this. In the blinking eye where dreams take flight, it's deafening in the quiet under these restless stars so bright. And if I wish on their falling light, I'd wish I didn't need to make a wish tonight. Oh, I wish I didn't need to make a wish tonight. Thank you. So, one of the best tools I've found in my toolbox about dealing with those bones rattling around in my closet that I want to keep locked up and hidden away is to humor them every once in a while. I've come to the conclusion that my journey through love and loss and healing and growing and all that is something that I'm supposed to enjoy most of the time. And to that end, I figure one of the things that I should share with you is a small confession. Now, I realize we're Unitarians and we don't do that sort of thing on a Sunday morning usually, so don't be too alarmed. But for the last 3 years, I have been enthusiastically engaging in an ancient Yankee tradition known as the barter system. In exchange for the time that I spend an hour or so a week playing music for people ranging in sizes from yay to about yay, I have agreed to not have to write checks for tens of thousands of dollars for my daughter's daycare, which I thought was a pretty good deal at the time. And you learn a lot of things about yourself when you're working with little people. We have a tendency in this life in music to take our work very seriously. Best advice I ever got in the music business: take your work very seriously and yourself about equally the same, not so. So I walk in that first morning with my guitar and I'm ready to sing the ABCs and Old MacDonald and all of that kind of stuff, and it's all good. And within, you know, the first couple weeks, I learned a lot of important lessons. One, little people do not care if you are a virtuoso on your instrument. Two, little people don't even really care that you play your instrument in tune. In fact, the third thing I learned was they don't even really care that much if you know how to play the instrument you showed up with on any given day. What they care about, and they care deeply about, is that you know the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round. You know, you're one of our people. You're good. We can do this. So here's the confession part. Once I realized this and grinned that great Grinchy grin, I realized that I was being afforded an excellent opportunity for on-the-job training. Learning how to play a whole bunch of instruments that I have absolutely no business playing by myself, never mind in front of people. And they went along with this. So I have ruthlessly exploited these poor children for the last 3 years, learning how to play my flute and the mandolin and this. Now, the reason I bring this today is because, yes, the confession makes my soul feel cleansed. But more importantly, because it gives us an excellent opportunity to sing together. And I've got all of 3 minutes on the drum before I run out of tricks. So you can tell a short song. But you know, We Unitarians come from a whole lot of different religious traditions. This one is going to be one of those feel it in your bones and sing kind of traditions, okay? There is rust on my halo. There are stains on my soul. All the lessons I've learned so slow will someday make me whole. Now, doesn't that just make you want to stand up and sing? All right, so you can stay sitting because I don't want anybody to hurt themselves. But I sing, you sing. I sing, you sing. I sing, you sing. And then because it's like artistically cool to have a unifying principle, we'll sing the last line together. Actually, it just sounds good. So, shall we? There is rust on my halo. Rust on my halo. There are stains on my soul. Stains on my soul. All the someday make me whole. That's the line we got to sing together. And I have to tell you, they did it with me the first time in Texas. So the bar is set high. Will someday make me whole. I knew I was with my people. Perfect. See that man on the side of the road, shoulders bowed under heavy load, praying for change at the stop sign. Sing beautiful, by the way. See that girl, babies in her arms. Who's gonna keep them safe from harm? Mean streets full of guns and greed. How's she gonna give them what they need? Now, where to learn not to believe? She need respect like you. So how are you feeling about your bones now? It's one of those things, you know, it's a love-hate relationship. I leave you with a final thought today. Those bones are perhaps memories of things that we don't want to be, things we don't want to be defined by, things that we'd rather not do again. They are the best fuel for what we will do, what we shall do, what we aspire to. Let us not leave ourselves looking at those bones and lamenting what was, but use them as power and hope to say, I shall be more than this. I shall do more than this. I will say that my grandmother's
understood this concept a whole lot better than I probably ever will. And somehow or other, she managed to impart it to me in a way that an 8-year-old could understand at the time. See, my grandmother was one of these people who would volunteer sort of almost obsessively. And I came along at this in the middle of this 18-year gap between grandkids, and I was the only grandson. So if I'm a little spoiled acting, that's probably got something to do with it. But my grandmother would give my parents some relief from this precocious kid during the summer vacation, and they would let me come stay with them for a week. And my grandma would toss me in the car, and off we would go for the day to go to visit the hospital where she'd retired as the head of nursing, or at the historical society, or at church, or whatever. And one day, I opened the floodgates. I said, "Grandma, explain to me, please, the re part of tired, because I'm just tired. We've been going all day long. What's this all about? You seem to be working awfully hard for somebody who's not supposed to be working anymore." And my grandmother never showed me any signs of impatience. I don't know how she did it, because I must have drove her nuts. But she just looked at me and smiled, and she said, "You know, none of what I do is big stuff. It's all little things. What's it hurt me to sit with somebody and talk for 15 or 20 minutes, or to bake a pie? I like to do those things. What would it be like, though, if a whole lot of people all did those little things? Imagine what it would add up to." And I think what Grandma was trying to convince this little logical-minded analytical kid who would grow up to be an engineer was that we humans are more than a perfectly arithmetic species. And in fact, we are capable of adding up to a whole lot more than the sum of our parts. Imagine each of us like a drop of rain on the roof of this beautiful building, right? One drop of rain, inconsequential. But think of the power of all of those raindrops running off of the roof and down into the creeks and into the river and finally out into that mighty gulf. And stare, we can, at its awesomeness and power. We think to ourselves, "My goodness, all of those droplets of energy out there, we are like that indeed. And those bones are the things that help us say, today, today and tomorrow, I'll do one little thing. I'll do a couple little things. I'll do something." Those little things really do add up. But never doubt and never lose faith that the good ones, no matter who's watching, the good ones always matter. Rush hour traffic going nowhere. The merge becomes a contact sport. Frustration boiling over and tempers growing short. The suited man bucks the trend at the toll booth, lets the grandmother in. He knows the people that we share the road with have loved ones waiting just like him. Good things matter long after they're done. Good things matter, each and every one. Good things matter, no matter how small. Good things matter to us all. You know, I just realized that I taught you the words not in my out loud voice. Maybe I should try that instead. Would y'all like to sing with me? Glorious four-part harmony. We can start with this. Good things matter. You altos like, good things matter. I'm not going to do the sopranos, but the basses can go down nice and low too. Good things matter. I knew I could trust the basses to come through. Actually, I don't care what you sing. As the spirit moves you, and as long as your neighbor doesn't stick an elbow in you, it's all good by me. Tear Street boy behind the playground fence, with teams picked, game in full swing. His braces hold him back from what his glasses show. He is not good at this thing. But the bigger boy who plays a game with natural skill and grace, to
says, here's my bat, take my place. He knows a final score is more than runs across the plate. Get ready now, by the pinch hitter's smiling face. Good day, long after they're done. Each and every one. Good thing. No matter how small, good things matter to us all. That sounds nice. Linger for the old one's words. Let a child know she's been heard. Ask a wallflower to dance. Give mistakes a second chance. Smile at strangers on the street. Share the table where you eat. Leave the extra change behind. Fight fear, be colorblind. Kind words to chase the gray. When things are hard, find a way. It all comes back someday. Long after they're done. Each and every one. No matter how small, good things matter to us. Good things matter. Three more like that. Thank you all so very much for having me this morning.
To mention at the beginning that any of you who wish to take a piece of Andrew home with you this afternoon, he does have a table out here with some CDs available, which I imagine will be there tonight as well. Okay. Are there any insights or words that anybody would like to share at this point?
Good things matter.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Dick will help us as we go into our closing song, number 212. Which was incorrectly identified as the opening song in your program. This is to the music of We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder, but without all those confusing flats that the other one has.
Please stand. We are dancing Sarah's circle. We are dancing Sarah's circle. We are dancing Sarah's circle. Sisters, brothers, all. Here we seek and find our history. Here we seek and find our history. Here we seek and find our history. Sisters, brothers, all. We will all do our own naming. We will all do our own naming. We will all do our own naming. Sisters, brothers, all. Every round a generation, every round a generation, every round a generation, sisters, brothers, all. On and on the circles moving, on and on the circles moving, on and on the circles moving, sisters, brothers, all.